Darren.
Oh, hey, Justin.
Welcome, everybody, to the Week 3 podcast, the podcast, your favorite podcast for the third week of the month.
Put on by us.
Put on by us, yes.
There you go.
No, you know what? It is your favorite podcast for the third week of the month. I don't care whether it's ours or not. This is your favorite.
It's probably Neil Gaiman's.
Look at me. We're the podcast now. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm okay. Justin, the co-host of the Geek Cave podcast. Fabulous podcast powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic microphone and said, by the power of Chad, I have the power.
All right.
So today we are talking about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Ah, okay.
Specifically, the 1983 Filmation cartoon. Because there is a lot to unpack with the He-Man franchise, but we're focusing in on the OG cartoon.
Okay.
So, little bit of backstory about He-Man real quick. So, in the 70s, initial work on what would be this toy line started. Mattel was looking for the next big thing. And they had some people work on it and some prototypes brought in. And what they chose was this barbarian-esque figure. It went through some kind of revisions here, there, and yonder, but they finally decided on the name He-Man. He wore a loincloth and kind of a chest plate thingy. He came with a battle axe, a shield, half a sword. Kind of weird. His evil nemesis, Skeletor, came with the other half. And it was big. The He-Man toy line was big. So the toy line first came out in 1982, okay? Wave 1 came out in 82, and that consisted of He-Man, Skeletor, I think Man-at-Arms, and maybe Beast-Man. One other, you know, one or two other characters.
Beast-Man sounds right.
Yeah. And along with these figures came little mini-comics. Now, in the early days of the mini-comics, it was just world-building. And there wasn't much connection or information in there. It was just, here's the adventure. He-Man started out as a barbarian who left his village in search of adventure, saved the sorceress, was granted the power armor, which gave him superhuman strength and abilities, and the power sword actually was two halves of a whole, which when combined unleashed the power that held within Grayskull. The power sword is only mentioned in the first two mini comics of the first wave, and by the end of the second one it was disappeared by the forces of Grayskull, so Skeletor could never get his hands on it again.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I know. And it wasn't until the eighth mini comic from the second wave, which came out in 83, that He-Man was even seen wielding a sword. Up until then, it was a battle axe. So that's a little bit of backstory. The first episode of the cartoon was, the script was finalized in April of 83 and aired October of 84. This is where we get the most lore out of He-Man. This introduced Prince Adam. This introduced the fact that when he held aloft the magic sword and said the words, he went from Adam to He-Man. This introduced the fact that Battle Cat was also Cringer. This totally not suspicious giant green cat that also resembled He-Man's giant green cat, but without armor.
It's the Superman paradox.
It really is. This introduced the fact that Adam is the prince of the king and queen of Eternia. So much lore that we associate with He-Man came from this cartoon. And it wasn't until the third wave of figures in 84 that they started to tie in the mini comics to the cartoon because it was so successful.
Now, if I remember correctly, wasn't his mom originally from Earth or something like that?
Yeah, that was also part of the cartoon. The Queen of Eternia, whose name I can't remember.
Queen of Eternia.
Yes, was actually an Earth astronaut who got sucked into a wormhole and landed in Eternia and married the king and had Adam and he became He-Man, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
It all worked out.
It all worked out. So the toy line was becoming a success. They approached Filmation to do the cartoon because they had experience in the past with doing some other cartoons and stuff like that. They shopped this around to multiple studios, including ABC, and they were turned down. It wasn't until they went to the NATPE conference of independent stations to pitch and sell the show in mid-83 that it was picked up. By March, the show had cleared 60% of the country.
Yeah.
And in August of 83, half of the 65-episode season was completed, and it aired in syndication in September of 83. And it became the first syndicated TV show based on a toy line. Normally, you get a show and then toys. Other way around here. And by 84, it was seen in over 120 U.S. stations and in more than 30 countries. By the time 85 rolled around and the show was kind of winding down, it was in 152 stations, and it was the most popular syndicated television show for children between the ages of 2 and 11. This show was my childhood. It had, and you could crank out these episodes so fast because of the limited animation style that they were using. They reused a lot of backgrounds, action poses and stuff like that.
Boy, did they.
They got around sort of the censorship around TV's television because due to how they allowed He-Man to operate. So this is the first time since the 1970s. Like the early 1970s, that a very muscular superhero had been seen on screen. Yeah, you've had like Superman and Batman or whatever, but we're talking buff heroes. And restrictions had kind of eased up a little bit. This allowed him to, you know, use his fists against the villains. Mostly it was wrestling moves and he would throw the villain rather than punch them. But he was seen throwing punches. And he only ever used the sword to turn into He-Man or deflect or to cut down something. Never in battle.
Right. I remember when it came to punches, it was usually he was throwing a punch at the camera.
Yeah.
You get the flash of light and then someone flying away.
Yeah. And they also kind of made it more kid-friendly by adding the moral or life lesson at the end, which tied into the episode. Which is something that G.I. Joe and other cartoons from the 80s attempted to do as well. The show was so popular, it created a spinoff, She-Ra, the Princess of Power.
Oh, yeah.
And a full-length, feature-length movie, The Secret of the Swords, to introduce said spinoff. You don't get that much with cartoons these days.
No.
Plus, let's not forget the ever-popular Christmas special.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It is.
No, it wasn't bad.
It is good.
It's fun.
The music, the theme music to this song was written by Suki Levy and Hami Saban. You know, Inspector Gadget, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, those guys. There was a quote-unquote sequel in the late 80s, early 90s called The New Adventures of He-Man.
Yeah, but I remember that.
That was kind of retconned to be a reboot of the series. Mm-hmm. An official sequel premiered on Netflix in 2021, Masters of the Universe Revelation, and the sequel Revolution, both helmed by Kevin Smith. It is meant to be a direct sequel of the 83 series. The style is different. It's a lot darker, but it is that world.
I thought Revelation was good. I haven't seen the follow-up to that yet.
I haven't either, but I have high hopes for it. It has been ranked as like one of the top 100 kids cartoons ever. It's just everybody who grew up in the 80s knows this and loves this show. Darren, what are some of your memories of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
Mostly insults that Skeletor would lob at his compatriots. You know, I mean, nitwit, you boob, that kind of thing. Skeletor was a lot of fun.
Oh, and yeah.
It was one of those things where, as an adult, it's hard to take Skeletor seriously because the dude is like Rita Repulsa, never wins.
You're right. You're right.
As a kid, I took Skeletor super seriously, and they did him well in the Netflix series. He was more of a threat. So that's, it's all good.
Oh, yeah.
But, that, and I remember there were just periodic episodes where Orko tried to kill Man-at-Arms.
Yeah.
Orko's, it was one of those things where it's like, no, I accidentally did X, Y, or Z, but I had a running theory that he was just trying to get rid of him.
Orko is the original Urkel.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, did I do that was kind of pretty much sums up Orko as well as Urkel.
Now, I saw that McFarlane Toys is doing a version of Orko where you actually get to see his face.
Never did that in the series. And that was, they wrote that into the series where Orko's people only show their face to one person, and it's the one that they love. And there is one scene in one episode where Orko runs in. He somehow gets back home. Orko has been described as misplaced. Like, he was sucked to Eternia from his home world, and he can't seem to get back, so he's just living his best life there. Mm-hmm. He somehow, at one point, manages to get home, shows his face to somebody that he has decided, I love you, and they love him, but then he goes back to Eternia to continue helping He-Man. But it's shown from the back, so you don't see his face.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's fine.
No, what I remember most about He-Man as a show is it had that Filmation flavor to it.
Yeah.
Where Brave Star and He-Man both had the same animations, and you could tell really easily. She-Ra did too, but you could tell that they put the most money into She-Ra.
Oh, yeah.
Because She-Ra had a bigger budget, and she had more powers and more varied animation. But as a whole, it's a great package.
It really is. It really is. Over the years, the He-Man cartoon has been rebooted a couple of times.
I like the mid-2000s one.
Oh, yeah. The 2000s one is spectacular. I'm not keen on the swords design in that one, but everything else is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I could take it or leave it, but you've got Skeletor voiced by someone who does a great job of making him sound like a badass and sinister.
Oh, yeah.
And I am so mad that Cartoon Network took that away from us before She-Ra showed up.
Yeah, because they alluded to that in the pilot episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity there. I mean, it is one of those, I'm going to say it's harmless.
Yeah.
There is really nothing that comes to mind that is offensive about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty vanilla.
It really is. But for a kid growing up in the 80s, damn, it was good.
Oh, yeah. And as you mentioned earlier, this kind of opened the floodgates for other shows that were basically meant as marketing, because from He-Man, you get GoBots, you get Transformers, you get the Thundercats, the Silverhawks, eight other Filmation series that look similarly, and all that stuff. because He-Man was a success, because Mattel was like, Star Wars is winding down. We need something.
Yeah. That did cause a bit of a stir, because you've got this 30-minute long promotion for a toy line.
Sure.
They couldn't really do much about that, except they were not allowed to air commercials for the toys during He-Man.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't do that. You couldn't watch 10 minutes of a show and then have a commercial for the toys. That had to come like half an hour later.
But you could get a commercial for Brave Star during He-Man.
Exactly, yes.
Man, Brave Star's good.
Brave Star, yeah, it's not too bad. So that is pretty much He-Man and the Masters of the Universe in a nutshell. I have a little shrine to it in my man cave where I've got both the old school figures and the new ones that came out. I've got some Funko Pops. Mega Bloks did a Skeletor's Havoc Staff set and the Power Sword set. And they are pretty much full scale.
Yeah, I've seen them. They look
They're
pretty
big,
nice.
And I love them.
You got me the comics, like in a collected edition.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got them digitally on my phone as well. So it's just, I was looking back through them earlier today. It's like, okay, it's not even until like the 9th comic that we get any semblance of what the cartoon was like.
Yeah, things were different.
Because, yeah, but it just, the cartoon was going off of basically, here's the toys, here are the basics. This is He-Man.
Make something up.
And boy, did they.
I would recommend, if you haven't yet, Netflix has a series called The Toys That Made Us.
Oh, yeah.
And there is an episode on He-Man. It's a good watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I recommend it. And I don't know. I think you can stream. Last time I checked, you can stream He-Man and the Masters of the Universe on Amazon.
Probably. I know they've been on Netflix on and off a few times.
Yeah.
It's somewhere.
It's somewhere. And typically, if you can find a collection of it, it's not too expensive.
No, it's pretty affordable.
No. I don't think it will ever come out on Blu-ray, unfortunately, because I would love to see some of that cleaned up, but
kind of adds to the charm.
It really does. It really does. So, that's really all I've got to talk about. I guess it is your turn.
Oh, absolutely. I've got something.
Bye.
Bye.